welcome to Laser Voicemail. If you're interested in obtaining your own new free voicemail account, press 1. For information on advertising on Laser Voicemail, press 2. If you're a current subscriber, press 3. Laser Voicemail is advertising supported. Each subscriber is assigned their own personal phone number. You may record your own greeting. Then, when callers call your personal laser number, they'll hear your greeting in your voice, and they can leave you a message. They do not hear any advertising. When you call in to retrieve your messages, you will call the same unique number, but instead of leaving a message, you'll press the star button followed by your security code. You can then listen to the messages left by your callers and either save or discard them. You do not even have to have a phone service to use this service. Each time you call in to retrieve your messages, you'll hear a short advertisement. If this is acceptable to you, press 1. If you would like additional information, press 2. The registration process will only take a few minutes, during which we will ask you a few general questions so that you will hear advertising that you may find interesting when you call for your messages. Please have a pen ready to write down your personal laser number, as we will not be able to supply it to you again after this call is completed. Now, enter a 4-digit security code that will be easy for you to remember. The number you have entered is... If this is correct, press 1. If this is incorrect, press 2. If you are a male, press 1. If you are a female, press 2. Thank you. We have noted that you are female. If this is correct, press 1. If this is... Please enter your age. Thank you. We have noted that you are 0 years old. Press 1 if this is correct, or please enter your 5-digit zip code. Thank you. We have noted that you live in zip code 31337. Press 1 if this is correct. At the beep, speak the greeting that you would like callers to hear. Press the pound sign when you're finished.
Hey guys, thank you for calling the Bellcore Radio voicemail box. If you'd like to leave us a message, please do so after the tone. And keep on freaking on.
When callers dial your laser number, they will hear...
Hey guys, thank you for calling the Bellcore Radio voicemail box. If you'd like to leave us a message, please do so after the tone. And keep on freaking on.
To replay message, press 1. To save and continue, press 2. You can re-record your call in the following message. You'll receive your personal laser number. Please have your pencil ready to write down your new voicemail number. It will be repeated twice during the following message. Your personal voicemail number is 20666668281. Please remain on the phone to hear more detailed information on how to use the system. As a subscriber, when you dial 20666668281 and hear...
Hey guys, thank you for calling the Bellcore Radio voicemail box. If you'd like to leave us a message, please do so after the tone. And keep on freaking on.
Press the star button followed by your 4-digit security code. You can then listen to your voicemail messages, save them, or discard them. Your voicemail box can hold a total of 20 messages, both new and saved. If additional messages are received, the oldest message will be erased. You should therefore check your mailbox at least once per day. If we detect no activity for 7 consecutive days, your mailbox will be closed and your account discarded. To hear this information again, press 1. If you agree to these conditions and will use the service, press 2. Thank you. You are now registered. Please test the system by calling 20666668281. When it answers, press the star button followed by... Thank you for calling Laser, the free voicemail service. Have a pleasant day. Goodbye.
dialed has not been recognized. Please check and try again. Has not been recognized.
Guys, this is Ponyboy, and you're listening to episode number 30 of Velcore Radio. I guess started up with, you might be noticing the sound quality on the show might be a little bit different. I'm not sure if it's better or if it's worse. It's probably a little bit worse. Right now I'm recording with a new microphone. I'm using a headset mic thing because I learned something at Nauticon this weekend, which I'll talk more about. We set up the Nauticon radio station, and we kind of got really technical into it. We added a lot of cool stuff to it, and I learned something which I had never done before, and that was that if you're recording audio, it's a good idea to have headphones to monitor what you're recording, so that you can hear if your audio quality is really horrible. And right now it sounds pretty good, so hopefully this will be a really good show. As you heard at the beginning of the episode, I did just register us a voicemail box. The other one kind of died. I kind of forgot to check it a little bit, and so it died. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to record it. I thought it was really interesting that they don't verify any of the crap. So I am a 0-year-old girl. But yeah, I don't know. I thought I'd record it for you guys. Let's check it out. Anyways, about Nauticon, which was fun, and I highly recommend it for anyone who wants to go to a con. It was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, there were a lot of cool talks. I don't really want to talk about the presentations. You know, there will be audio and video available of them online probably like a month from now, but I want to talk about some of the fun stuff I did that wasn't really, you know, what wasn't a talk, not a talk I saw, but really for the main example, the Nauticon radio station, which was really cool. It started out with, you know, it was me and Jason Scott and Droops kind of setting it up a little bit, mostly Jason Scott, but, you know, me and Droops were there on occasion for moral support. And it was just, you know, a little sound mixer and a laptop and some mics and some headphones, and that was it. And it was just, you know, streaming out to the internal network at the hotel. And then probably about an hour or so into it, because it went off and on occasion, but we got the internet stream going steady, and, you know, as more and more people got involved, we had, probably the coolest part about it was the, well, I'll save that for the end. We had Droops's Celasterisk Linux Live CD that me and him have been working on. We had that running so that people could call and we would see them pop up on this caller ID, even though we couldn't actually answer that phone in the beginning. We would have people call, and if we looked at it and saw that there was somebody that called, we would check their caller ID on there and we would actually call them back and hold the cell phone up to the mic and get them on the air for a while, which was cool. And that evolved into actually having a full-out live stream going over a Linux or over an Asterisk box that you could actually call up a specific number and it would ring directly to the stream, and you would pick up right where probably a little bit of a delay, but generally right around where the stream was, and that was cool. And we got Skype set up so that people could call in. You know, we had a little Skype name of Nauticon Radio so that people could call in, and you know, it would patch them directly in onto the mixer, and we could hear it all in our headphones, and they could hear us through the mics, and it was awesome. But the coolest part was that someone brought down an FM transmitter. And I mean, like, you know, it wasn't a powerful FM transmitter. It was, I think, like a quarter of a watt, which isn't really that much. But it was awesome. We could basically broadcast on the FM radio to any FM radio inside the hotel. Once you left the hotel, there were, you know, other stations that we were kind of overriding with stronger signals, but it was still the thought of it, you know, the thought of being able to say, you know, you're listening to Nauticon Radio on 90.1 FM, you know, and this is your host, Pony Boy. It blew my mind, because that's what I've always, I mean, that's always been a big dream of mine, was to have a station set up like that. Just not something big, you know, not something like, you know, that's gonna, you know, override everybody's signal, but just something cool, something that people nearby me could listen to, and it would give me a way to play the music that I don't think gets enough airtime or whatever, or, you know, the talk shows like this, or, you know, probably not this one, because with the language and stuff, the stuff we talk about on this show, the FCC would probably be banging on our doors a week after we set it up. But I've always loved the idea of pirate radio like that, and it was just really cool, because, I mean, that's why I started doing shows like this, because I feel that, like, you know, if for those of us who really dig the idea of being able to freely broadcast things like that, but aren't too big on the idea of getting arrested or fined, I think that, you know, internet radio is next big frontier. You know, and I think that it's cool to do shows like this, but I've always wanted to be able to, you know, to go on the airwaves and broadcast to people who, you know, because you can reach people that way who just happen to stumble across it more so than you could reach, you know, just a random person over this medium. Because you don't have a lot of people who are like, oh, you know, I'll go look at, you know, download some new, you know, podcasts or whatever that I haven't heard before. You don't hear a lot of people doing that, especially people who aren't really interested in tech. But with radio, it's like, hey, you know, I think I'll scan through here and see if I can find something good. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, you know, they're talking about some kind of, you know, they said the word hack. I think I'll stop and hear what they're talking about. And they learn stuff. And it's people that you would never expect. And I mean, that's how I find out about a lot of things that I'm not aware of before, a lot of music that I'm not familiar with, is just by scanning through radios. And it was really cool. But, the other really, really awesome thing that I discovered well, I guess I can't say I discovered it because it was not that hard to find. But me and Droops and DOSMan decided that we were going to go urban exploring, I should say, in the basement of the hotel, because the stairwells and the elevators all lead all the way down into the basement. So we're walking around down there, and we've got, Droops has his video camera and everything, and we're recording. And I come across a payphone, which, you know, I thought was kind of cool to begin with. I was like, hey, cool, payphone, time for me to play. Because I had only found one other payphone in the hotel. And there had been many places where there used to be payphones, but there was just that one that I could find until I got into the basement. But what made me just absolutely drool when I saw this payphone, you know, it was an SBC AT&T payphone, which was cool in itself, because but since I got interested in phone freaking, really, I've never been able to deal with an actual payphone operated by the local phone company, you know, because here in Bell Southland, we don't have that. We have COCOTs. And I thought that was cool, just to see that, and be like, hey, I can play with this, and like, learn about this, you know, SBC AT&T system if I want to. But what made it really cool is I was looking at the phone, and on the coin box, they got the little silver face plaque thing, and it wasn't an SBC logo, and it wasn't an AT&T logo on this coin box. It was a big blue bell, and it said Ohio Bell next to it. And I started drooling. Like, I couldn't believe that we had just found a payphone that was, you know, that still had the insignia of dead phone companies. Who knows? I don't. I could probably look it up and find out, but I don't know how long it's been since Ohio Bell has existed. Because I know Ohio Bell became Ameritech, I believe. Or they kind of became part of Ameritech. And then that became SBC, and then SBC is now AT&T. But I was amazed when I saw it, and I've gone on so many urban exploration outings, I guess you could call them, and I've never found something that amazed me so much. So I mean, like, if you ever have a chance to go out, you know, even if urban exploration's not really your big thing, you know, I like going because I like to see places that I'm not supposed to see. I like to see kind of what the rest of the world's like, other than just what I'm allowed to see. And I never expected to find something so cool. And I mean, I know that if you go out and do the same kind of things, and go kind of where you're not, where people don't want you to go, you'll find cool things like that too. And I mean, I don't know, I was so excited when I saw it, and unfortunately I checked and it does not accept incoming calls. I would have loved to have called it on the show, but it's not going to work out that way. But I guess I don't really know where to go from there, so we're going to jump right into it. And we got an email that is going to kind of lead us into the freak news here a bit. From a guy named Downer, who sent in the Alcatel and Lucent stuff we talked about on a previous episode, 29, I think, maybe 28, one of those two. Listen back and you'll remember. But he writes, and we're going to talk about this is a cool article, the Walt Disney Company on Wednesday unveiled a mobile phone service designed for families, and here's the kicker. It allows parents to monitor their kids' locations and control how they use their phone. And I thought I had read that, and I was like, wait, what? Did it just say that? I mean, like, it's cool, you know. I think that's a good idea, that, you know, they can kind of, I don't know about monitoring their children's location. That just seems kind of like, it seems kind of creepy. But it's like, okay, if Disney, because I'm sure that it must be, it's not just like your parents are directly monitoring the kids' stuff. I'm sure it's the parents are, you know, using some kind of software or whatever that goes and through the, I think it's on the Sprint network that Disney's setting this up. Yeah, Sprint, Nextel, whatever. I'm pretty sure it goes over that network and then to Disney Mobile or whatever, which then locates the cell phone and then comes back to Disney Mobile and then back through Sprint and then to you. Which just seems like a... I understand the point of it. That it's a good thing, you know, you can know where your kids are. You can know if your kids are out, you know, doing drugs or being somewhere where they're not supposed to be. Well, I guess you can't know if they're doing drugs by using their cell phone, but, you can tell if they're somewhere where you told them that they're not allowed to go. Which is a good thing. Or if they're in a bad part of town that you're uncomfortable with them being there, you can call them up and say, hey, maybe you should get out of there and come home. Which is awesome. I'm all for that. But when it's a service like this, which is, you know, just kind of sitting on the backbone of another bigger network, and there's probably several middleman type things in between you looking at for where your kid is and them finding where your kid is and then getting it back to you, it seems just like there's probably gaping holes in that anyone could just be like, hey, you know, let's jump in halfway down the chain of command here and say, Disney Mobile person, I'm from Sprint, and I've got someone here who wants to locate this specific cell phone. You know, just someone that they aren't really the parents of, just, you know, if they want to track somebody, just say, I'm looking for this person, or they're looking for this person, I should say. And I'm sure Disney would be like, oh, yeah, just one second. Let me just look that right up for you, and then tell you. And it just seems like it's ripe for social engineering, and just for people to be able to track stuff when they're not really supposed to. I mean, to track things illegally, you know? For people to keep tabs on you, for private investigators and whatnot to just kind of keep track of where people that they're supposed to be following. You don't even really have to follow them anymore. I mean, you can sit back and you can monitor their location. Because chances are they're going to have a cell phone. And if you own a cell phone, you're probably using it most of the time, from what I've gathered. And so, I mean, it just seems like it scares me, you know, to think that there are services that are like, basically like, here, we will monitor where you are and send it to, you know, whoever asks for it. I don't know, it just seems like a good idea that could be implemented better. If it wasn't, you know, could probably use more security. And I haven't dealt with it, I don't know for a fact, but it just seems, when I read that, it just screamed out at me that, like, you know, this is something people are going to abuse in a lot of ways. But, thanks a lot to Downer for sending that in. That was really, I mean, that was an eye-opener when I saw it. A little more freak news, and this is kind of cool. Not really news, but just kind of something cool. I saw on Network World, which is actually the same site where that article about Disney Mobile is. There's a guy who basically wrote an article. It's called "What Telecom Mergers Really Mean," and basically it's what he's saying is it's like, okay, so we've got this one phone company that doesn't really work very well. Like, I'm just going to say, we'll use the SBC AT&T one, for example. We've got, you know, AT&T, which frustrates the crap out of people every day. And we've got SBC, which frustrates the crap out of people every day, because both systems are kind of flawed in customer service-wise, in, you know, dealing with problems in a timely manner. And they all kind of, you know, all telcos, it's inherent. I'm not singling anyone out. Every telco is not at 100% efficiency. It's not at 50% efficiency in most departments. And basically what he's saying is, like, how does it make sense that, you know, you've got AT&T, which, you know, isn't working properly. You've got SBC, which isn't working properly. So let's smack them together, and they'll work great. And I mean, I can understand what he's saying, you know. I mean, I think that there are a lot of things. I mean, the phone companies aren't like aren't what they used to be. You know, phone companies aren't. They don't care about customers. They don't really. I mean, I don't know if they ever did care about customers, but they care about, you know, making this money and making sure that cable companies don't get this money, and making sure that voice over IP companies don't get this money. And so they merge together and they try to, you know, kind of try to make it so that they can choke out a lot of competition, a lot of smaller things. Because, you know, when you get AT&T and SBC merging, and then with AT&T, or excuse me, with Bell South later on, do you really think, I mean, you've got such a giant company covering so much ground, you're going to crush out small-time competition. And I think that's really what these mergers are about. But I don't know. I guess I can understand where the guy's coming from, in his point there. I mean, it does make a lot of sense that, you know, or I guess it doesn't make a lot of sense that two companies which are both flawed think that by coming together they will fix those flaws. And actually, something else kind of interesting about AT&T. You guys all know about the whole AT&T's role in the whole NSA wiretapping thing that's been going on. Because they basically were just handed stuff over to the NSA. They were like, yeah, sure, come on in here and, you know, and do all this. And so an ex-AT&T guy leaked some stuff to the EFF, some confidential shit, which really makes a great case against AT&T. But AT&T is now saying that since it is, it was confidential document, that it shouldn't be submissible as evidence. And I mean, it seems kind of just like they're trying to cover their ass. They see that if their only defense is that, yeah, but that's a confidential document. So, you know, it doesn't make sense. I mean, like, it seems like they're making it blatantly obvious that, you know, instead of saying, no, we did not do that, they're saying, yeah, we did, but what you're holding in your hand isn't supposed to be in your hand, so therefore we're not guilty. And I mean, I guess it's kind of, you know, the, excuse me there. The EFF, I guess they are kind of basing their case on this kind of, you know, on these confidential documents, which is, you know, legally, oh, that's loud. Legally speaking, probably not the best idea, but, I think that it's a dumb move on AT&T's part from just a you know, not from a legal standpoint, but just from the standpoint of people looking in from the outside, people reading articles about this like I am. And it just looks like AT&T is saying, well, what can we do to cover our asses and keep from getting in trouble? Because it's obvious from this document that we did this. So let's just say that it's, you know, they can't use that for whatever fucking reason. I'm not sure if, you know, I don't know. But it makes me kind of wonder, you know, like, people are always asking, you know, how, you know, AT&T got broken up for a reason in 1984. There was divestiture for a reason. Is that the right word, divestiture? I think so. AT&T got broken up for a reason. Because they were a big, giant-ass company. And, now they're kind of coming back. Which I'm cool with, you know. I don't mind having, you know, telecom mergers. It gives me stuff to talk about on the internet. But, I hear a lot of people asking, you know, why is it that it's all of a sudden not that big of a deal? And it kind of makes me wonder if, you know, this whole deal with the NSA, and, you know, I'm sure they it would not be hard for them to work out some kind of deal through the NSA that says, hey, you know, we'll let you do this kind of stuff that you want, but it'd be cool if we could kind of start to get a little bigger. You know, like, you know, we'll give you what you want. You want, you know, you want to do some wiretaps, that's cool. But, you know, if you want to do wiretaps over in Verizon territory, they might not be so cool about it. Or if you want to do wiretaps over in Bell South territory, they might not be so cool about it. But if we were in Bell South territory, then we could let you do it over there, too. And I think that it's kind of like, AT&T's like, yeah, we'll give you guys what you want if you'll just kind of turn the other cheek to this whole growth thing that we're doing. And I mean, again, this is just my kind of crazy conspiracy theory type stuff that I think about. But, I don't know, it's an idea. It's something to think about. I don't know. I guess this is kind of like my Google taking over the world theories that I come up with every so often. But anywho, moving on to probably the biggest damn thing I've heard about, or the most talked about thing I've heard about for the past, you know, past couple of days, on the Register. A company called Carphone, which, since it's on the Register, I'm going to assume is based out of the UK. I guess 2 days ago, announced that, they were going to start offering free broadband. Free is in quotes in this article, so let's see exactly what free means. Oh, I guess it's really not that free at all. I haven't read all of these articles. I looked the Register, and I was like, damn, that's a lot, because there's about 5 articles in a row about this thing. Basically, Carphone, they're offering like a broadband and phone service bundle package thing that's cheap. It's not free, but it's damn cheap. And it's like, I guess that's the symbol for pounds, since this is the UK. It's about 10 pounds a month. And then there's some fees or something, like line rental charge for like 11 pounds, and then, I mean, that's not bad at all, really. Like, all together, you know, 30, I guess, I'm gonna call them dollars just because it's easier. I'm sorry to my UK listeners, about 30 bucks a month. I know that there's a little bit of a difference, but, I mean, that's cool. 30 bucks a month for, you know, unlimited local and, unlimited local phone calls, and, you know, 8 meg broadband access is a damn good deal for me. I mean, but apparently there's been a big stink over that, and, let's see why. There's, companies that I'm sure that, and BT or like British Telecom is saying that more or less it's just a clever marketing scheme, which I guess it kind of is. I mean, like, I don't know. It's I don't know. It seems like a pretty damn good service, but I don't know. There, BT is apparently saying it's just a big, you know, it's nothing, but Carphone seems to be pretty legit about it. And I know I'm going to regret saying that, because there's 2 more articles here I haven't read, which were posted after this one. But, apparently it's like, let's see, 40 gigabyte download limit. This article, basically, it's like a paragraph long saying that there was a typo. There's a big thing, apparently the download limit on Carphone is 40 gigabytes. And, there's a typo in the paper or whatever that said it was 40 gigabits, and people were like, we don't want 40 gigabits of download for, you know, 30 bucks a month, or 30 pounds a month, or whatever you want to call it. But, anywho, moving on, that's, you know, I don't know, I guess that's freak news. But that is actually going to be the end of the freak news, and we have a little bit more show lined up for you. And I want to talk about Geek Squad. And Geek Squad, as you all know, is the Best Buy's little PC repair company that they own. and they're getting their asses sued by a company called Winternals Software out of Texas, out of Austin, Texas, basically saying that Geek Squad was in talks with Winternals about using using like some diagnostic equipment or software or something along those lines, and they were in talks with Best Buy and in talks with Geek Squad about using it or about like licensing it to them and all sorts of shit like that. And Geek Squad kind of broke off the discussions for one reason or another. I guess they kind of just took the back burner for one reason. But then they just kept using the software. And Winternals ain't happy about that. They sent in a request for a restraining order to start with. I'm not sure what that accomplishes. But I mean, like, that just seems really funny. It's like, they it says here that each copy of the software, initially speaking, like, I guess unlicensed, is this licensed or unlicensed? Wow, I guess that's licensed. Each copy of the software costs $1,200. And the two companies were negotiating a deal for bundled software worth several million dollars. And, that's a lot of money, as you can imagine, so I can kind of see why they cut it off. But, I mean, like, I don't know. Geek Squad pirates software. To sum it up, before I mumble any more into this, Geek Squad pirates software, and, they're getting their asses sued for it. And they deserve to get their asses sued for it, because they broke the law. And again, I know that my opinions on this thing are not popular with people, but that's how I feel, you know? If you disagree with me, that's totally cool. Got no problem with that. But I think that if you steal stuff, and you pirate software, and people catch you, then you get in trouble, and it's your damn fault. And so, yeah, congratulations to Geek Squad for getting their asses sued. That's gonna wrap it up for the interesting part of the show tonight. I know it's a little bit short, but yeah, that's how it goes on sometimes. I do want to tell everybody that I am working on getting out the latest release of Project Walmart Freedom. It should be coming out sometime soon. I'm not gonna say an exact date because I'm pretty sure I'll miss it. But if you want to contribute anything information wise, we try to keep it not direct store numbers, just because you can get those, you know, on Walmart.com, but payphone numbers for payphones in Walmart. Especially, you know, if you send them in, make sure to check if they accept incoming calls. You know, the internal extension listings, basically any information you can find. If you want to send that to us, we will put you in that. We will put you in the text file. We will put your name. Anyone who contributes gets listed as an author, which is really cool. You know, so if you want to help out, just send something in. Let me know. You know, if you want me to use, you know, what name you want me to use for you. And I will get it out there, and, you know, just send stuff in, because that's really, I mean, I only have so many Walmarts around here I can go to, but, it's projectwalmartfreedom@gmail.com, so, get those numbers in, guys, so we can get a good update going. Also, to take a minute, you've heard the voicemail number at the beginning of the show. I actually have already forgotten it. But give that a call. Leave us a voicemail message if you want to. We will play it on the show. What else do we have? You can write us an email at bellcoreradio@gmail.com. And check us out on IRC at irc.freenode.net. And the channel is #BCR. So, yeah, check that out. And that's going to be the end of the show. So until next time, as always, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. I want to give shouts before I go to everyone at Nauticon. Shouts to Citadel for being loud and drawing a lot of people over to the radio booth, which was cool. Citadel, rock on. And big, big, big shouts to Vash and Vash's roommate guy, and I wish I could remember this guy's name, for letting me crash on their floor the first night I was there, even though they don't know me. That was really awesome, guys, so thanks a lot for letting me do that. But yeah, that's gonna wrap it up. So, like I said before, keep hacking, keep freaking, and keep having fun. This has been Belcore Radio, and this is the end of file.